quite accurate. You are, in fact, listening to CJLO 1690 AM. That is correct. What you just heard was a track by Vast, or... it's the same in French and English. I could put on a terrible like accent. It wouldn't really make any difference. You understand what it is. A track called Entendement, which I said even more wrong than I did the first time. I apologize to Matt from Vast, who called in to chat with me about a show that they are doing on April 12th, along with another band. Oh, gosh, what was that band? Hold on, let me bring up my notes real quick, and formed in 1979 in Okinawa, Japan, and then time traveling to Boston. We have Glacier, who are going to be here. They, you might remember them from me playing tracks from a distant, violent Shudder on this very show, and also an interview that I did with them at RPM Fest, and I have a representative of that band here to talk with all of us about the show that's happening. So tell the people who you is and what you do's in Glacier.
Hello, my name is Derek. I play bass in the Boston band Glacier.
Well, Derek, it has been a while since we've spoken. Since summer, in fact. My goodness, time does fly.
How things change.
True. And, well, you've already done one of these interviews before, so let me try this again with you, because I love structure in all of these interviews. What's one thing you don't want to be asked? And if I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You won't have to address it at all.
I'm kind of an open book, so, you know, you can feel free to ask away. I don't think there's really much that's off limits for me. So.
Fair enough. All right. Well, then, let's begin. I'd go over like the whole thing with how the band started and all that, but we've already done that before. So let's talk about something really recent that you've done. You guys just played in China. What was that like? Tell me more about that. I've never chatted with a band that's at least so recently played in China. So what's that like?
It was very interesting. It was a really, really cool experience. It was definitely kind of a whirlwind of things because we went, we were there for a total of about 3 days and we did like a one-off show there. And it was just crazy. I mean, the time difference alone kind of made me feel like I was going nuts a little bit. And then next thing I know, we're up on this, you know, big stage and playing in front of probably a bigger crowd than we've ever played in front of before. And, it was awesome. I mean, the hospitality was amazing. They were just super kind and welcoming, and the crowd was incredible. Like, just like so into the music, and it was just a very, very interesting experience. Very cool for sure.
Did it feel? I mean, from the crowd perspective, did it feel different to play in front of a group of people in China versus playing to people in Boston? Like, what was that difference? I'm sure there was a difference. What was that kind of like?
I mean, you know, when you're up there and you're playing and like you're kind of doing the thing. I guess it wasn't a huge difference in the moment. However, like the culture there towards bands is definitely different. They have like a big like picture and like autograph culture. So like, you know, we were taking pictures with fans and doing signings, and like even the next day we went back to the festival just to kind of hang around, and like people were stopping us and you know, asking us to take pictures with them and like giving us like trinkets and, you know, gifts. And so that was like a big difference, because, you know, playing here, you know, I mean, you're home, so it's like it's not like a novelty really to see, you know, a band from down the street. But you know, over there, you know, where a band traveled, you know, across the world, and so I think it was just kind of like a more of like a novelty. And, I think the appreciation over there for hearing new music and stuff is it's a bit different. Definitely a bit different.
Well, if we're talking about festivals, which I believe you played one over in China, that you're going to actually be playing in July post-festival, which looks pretty awesome. The lineup is sick. How did that come about? Like, let's start there. How did it come about? We'll start there. In Indianapolis, I should say, is where that is, in case people are like, what is this that he's talking about?
So we actually had played post-festival, I think it was 2 years ago. I want to say we played in 2022. And we went out there, and I mean, it was awesome. It was at the Vogue Theater. The venue was great. The lineup was awesome. We played with like some of our favorite bands, and we've kind of been in touch with the guys who run it since. And this last record we put out, Distant Violent Shutter, in the U.S. actually got put out on Post Records.
Oh.
So, you know, we've managed to keep that connection. And then as we were getting everything together to put the record out and everything, we were contacted again by their festival management, and they wanted to put us back on and come back and do the thing again. So that's kind of where it's been for us. I mean, you know, like I said, they've been super helpful with us, and they've been a great contact. And yeah, so we were really psyched to be able to play this year again, especially, I mean, this lineup is crazy.
Yeah, so. It's pretty sick. Like, Pianos Become the Teeth right there is one. And then you guys, This Will Destroy You Too. I mean, like, this is it's sick, this lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like a dream lineup for us. And, you know, and it's cool because we're playing on Thursday, and it seems like on the Thursday date, they're doing like kind of a full album play theme. So we're going to go there, and we're going to be doing Distant Violent Shutter front to back. Which is, you know, that's a cool opportunity to be able to do anyways, because, you know, a lot of festival settings, it's like you get 30 minutes and you're kind of off. So to give us the space to be able to play the whole album and, you know, really kind of feel it is going to be definitely a cool experience.
I'm not sure if I asked you this at RPM Fest. So if I did, please excuse me that I'm repeating a question. I hate to do that. But playing all of these fests, and you're going to be doing basically like a mini tour in Kingston and here and in Quebec City with Vast, which do you kind of prefer to do? Because there's obviously, you know, big pros and cons to doing festivals and tours in each direction. What's kind of your preference, or do you even have one?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it kind of just depends on I mean, the festival thing is really cool. I like doing that. You know, we haven't done like a ton of these, you know, bigger festivals. So it's still kind of new to me to be able to do these things. So I think that definitely is like exciting in the moment. But I like doing these runs too. And, you know, I just like seeing places that I haven't been. And I really just think that, given the opportunity, I'm kind of willing to just jump in the van and go wherever it takes me. And I think that that's the most exciting part about any of it, like playing music and stuff, is just the connection that you get with, you know, people from places that you wouldn't go otherwise, you know.
And another thing that I think people, and it didn't even really occur to me until today when I was thinking about doing this kind of joint interview, is that especially with you, it seems Glacier is big on apparently making band friends, as we've seen with you know, the other great band from your city, C, who I need to once again make a very public apology for my phone not working right. I'm sure that they are very upset that I never did that interview. I apologize deeply to them. But going back to more friendly things, is that something that you guys are finding that you're able to do kind of easily? Because I know there are many bands who, like, you know, they get into their like personas, right? That they're unapproachable. They don't like to talk to people. But that does not seem to be the case for at least for Glacier. Is that kind of something that you guys strive to do to kind of get more to make more friends, I guess, along the way?
Well, first of all, I would like to say the people in C, I don't think I've ever seen them get angry. They're like some of the nicest people. And in fact, I will take this opportunity to say that Liz from C has actually joined our band full time.
Oh.
Yeah, so that friendship has grown even more, and we're happy to have her on, and it's been a great experience with her. As far as making band friends go, I think that, you know, we started this band, well, especially the three of us, me, my brother plays guitar in the band, and one of our like lifetime best friends. We started this just doing it as like something, as a way to hang out with each other. And, you know, we've all kind of played music growing up and in different bands and different genres and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, when we're out together and we're doing the thing, like, yeah, we have our stage persona, but, you know, when we're not playing, I mean, we're just happy to kind of be hanging out with each other. And I think that can be kind of infectious, you know. We just like each other's company. We like to make each other laugh. And, like, there'll even be times on stage where, like, you know, we keep it super serious, but, like, we'll throw each other, like, a little wink or something and try and... we say we try and get each other to pop, you know. We try and make each other, like, kind of smile or laugh on stage. But, you know, I think that we're just in it for, you know, just having a good time and having that connection with each other and being able to spend time hanging out with each other. So, you know, when we meet other bands that are, you know, seemingly doing the same thing and especially in the same genre, then it just makes it easy to click. You know, we kind of gravitate towards people who are out there for the same reasons and we're all just trying to, you know, have a good time and entertain people. And, you know, I think that just kind of comes easy for us because we're all just kind of there doing the same thing.
And something else that kind of I thought of as I was thinking up questions here is I know I asked you kind of before about being an instrumental band playing mm-hmm. at festivals, but I do kind of wonder, and I don't know if this is something that you've thought about, but I'm wondering if bands and fans, if they kind of align on what they think is a great show, because I've spoken with a lot of bands after even they get done doing a session here at the station, and they'll say something like, oh man, I just couldn't hit the guitar parts, or the drummer will be like, oh yeah, I added some extra things in it, it didn't work out. And I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It sounds amazing. do you think there is kind of like a disconnect there between what is viewed as a good show from your guys' end and from what the fans would see as a great show? Like, is there a divide there, or do you think it kind of meshes up when it is just like a great experience?
I definitely think that there's a divide. I'm like, you know, when you're in your own head, that doesn't necessarily translate to the audience. So, right. You know, you can get off stage feeling bummed and then have people coming up to you and telling you that it was great and that they had a great time. And, like, you know, so there's definitely a little bit of a disconnect. However, I do think that when a band is like totally gelling and totally just with it, that translates as well. You know, I think that, like, you know, if you're watching a band and you can see that they're totally 100% locked in with each other and they're out there having a great time, then, you know, that can definitely, you know, affect how you perceive what you're seeing. You know, I think the bad show thing, like the, you know, feeling like you didn't deliver 100% is more of a personal thing. And I think that will just kind of stick with the member to member, you know, personal feeling of the show. And I don't think it necessarily makes for a bad show if it's like, you know, there was like a mess up or something like that, because as an audience member, you're watching, you know, 45 minutes of music. You're not going to remember that, you know, 10 seconds of flub. You know, but as the musician, even though you're playing for 45 minutes, that 10 seconds of flub feels like it was the entire show. So it's like,
I do live radio. I understand how interminable 10 seconds could feel.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So like, you know, I don't think it necessarily, will translate 100%. However, I do think that if you're up there playing and you are locked in and everyone feels locked in and it feels like feels like you're killing it, then I think that translates more than the negatives translate.
Is writing music a kind of magic?
You know what? I've had a few different thoughts that kind of align with that. Uh-huh. You know, where it's like I'm just doing these things with my hands and like creating these sounds, and then when you mesh with other people and it all kind of comes together, it definitely feels that way. I used to like write a lot of songs as like a teenager, you know, in my bedroom and stuff, like on acoustic guitar and stuff. And like, I always like kind of viewed it as like, the music is there and you just kind of have to find it. You know what I mean? It's more like I used to think of it as like an archaeological dig,
or like
uncover parts. And like, you're like, oh, that definitely is what that's supposed to be. And you kind of just find it as you go. But it's one of the best feelings. I mean, as far as magical goes, I guess I can say yes.
Yeah, like what's the old sculptor thing, finding the actual sculpture within the rock that you're working with. It's weird as someone who doesn't really know how to create music like that, because it seems even more like magic, whereas logically I understand, like, oh well, yeah, of course people are writing music, but I mean that makes it sound so kind of like rote and like easy to do. But it, as anyone who, like me, who can't make music can tell you, it's not easy to do. So,
well, you know, it's funny because we just played two nights with Caven, the band from Boston. Mm-hmm. And like, they've been one of my, you know, biggest influences, or, you know, favorite bands for like a long time. And like, we were watching them play the other night, and like, I was like, I don't know how they do it. Like, I don't know how they write these parts. And like, there's still times where I see bands, and even though like I know how it, you know, how to come together with people and write music, where I still see bands and I'm like, I don't know how they did that. You know, I don't know how they come up with that. And like, you know, I think that no matter who you are, the magic is still there. You know what I mean? Like, you can always find someone that's going to inspire you, or, you know, someone where it's just going to kind of blow your mind, and like, you're just not going to know, you know, how they do that.
Well, speaking of how did they do that, people will get to ask that question on April 12th when they see you at Turbo House. Are you planning on kind of playing most of A Distant Violent Shudder, or are you going to go back into the back catalog to pull things? What's the plan?
I think we have a tendency of kind of moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I would expect that, you know, A Distant Violent Shudder is going to be the focus, like the songs from that album. We actually have a new song that we've been kicking around to, that we're planning on doing something with in the future. So I mean, that could make an appearance. But yeah, I don't think we're really going to go back much as far as what we play in our live show. Not to mention too, A Distant Violent Shudder is in a different tuning. It's in a much lower tuning, so it's kind of hard to go back unless we either, you know, kind of scale the songs to the new tuning, or we bring, you know, extra instruments that are in different tunings and sometimes van space can be a little tough with the amount of gear that we bring around anyways.
Yeah, guys, just bring like all of your guitars, just pack them into the the Prevost bus that you have, obviously, yeah. And just drive it on up. It's not a big problem.
Strap them to the roof.
Yeah, exactly. No problem.
Yeah, so I would say that a distant violent shutter has been the focus of our live performances lately, and that's probably what you'll hear on April 12th.
Well, let's what I'll do here is I need to play the top of the hour stuff, but then I think I'll play something off of the record so that people can get a taste of what's coming up here on the 12th. And you definitely should not miss the show. It is looking to be a barn burner. I can't think of another descriptor. A slobber knocker. That seems like a good one.
That sounds about right.
Let's go right into some old wrrestling terms here. JR, oh my God. Okay. Yes. So everyone, I expect to see all of you at Turbo House. It will be a good show on the 12th. And you'll get to hear Vast. You'll get to hear the soothing sounds of Glacier, and you'll also get to hear, and I wrote it down because I will forget the name of the band, some became hollow tubes, not become hollow tubes, they've already became hollow tubes. Good to know.
They're already there.
Well, thank you for taking the time to chat with me, Derek.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to being up there. And you know, if anyone listening wants to come up and talk and chat and meet us, we're happy to do that too.
Cool. And so let me play all this, and then I'll come back and actually officially start the second hour, and you can hear some Glacier, and that will be how we start off, and then an interview with Derev after that. So keep it locked, Derek. If you would kindly stay on the line while I play these things, I can give you a proper thank you for all of this.
Yeah, of course.
And all the rest of you, here, listen to these, listen to the news, which is, I know it's very depressing, but we'll get to music after that. Stay tuned. CJLO, 1690 AM, Grade A, Explosives.